All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the We're Going to Cock Tease You, then bring you back to Under Reality podcast.
All right, you go on a little road trip, quick one, and you actually win two games. Barely, might add.
By a freaking miracle.
A couple miracles. We were just talking, and you're like, geez, have you noticed how, what it takes to win a game? It's like a fucking monumental task. It's like Frodo going to the, what's it called?
Into Mordor.
Yeah, Mordor, trying to defeat Sauron. Like, that's what a win is for these guys. No wonder they don't like to do it very often. No wonder they don't want to try and do it against bad teams. They just want the win to happen. They don't want to try. Look what it takes. It's a fucking monumental task. They must be exhausted. Hey? Mentally, emotionally. Like, it takes every fucking living cell of their body just to scrape out a fucking win. With luck.
With incredible luck.
Both games, they had luck on their side. It's refreshing to see luck on our side. It's unfortunate that we need luck in order to win a game. Otherwise, we can't win. We just can't do it. Doesn't matter who it is. We're looking at the lottery teams. We've lost to every single fucking lottery team this season. And there's, what, 10 or 11 of them?
There's 11.
This is the worst of the worst. These are the teams that are in the fucking tanking race for Bedard. Can't beat them.
We've lost to every lottery team except the Sharks and the Coyotes. And we still play the Coyotes this year, so that could change. And the Sharks too. We've lost to Columbus. We've lost to Chicago twice. Lost to Anaheim. Lost to Montreal twice. Lost to Philly. Lost to Vancouver. Lost to St. Louis. Lost to Washington. Lost to Detroit. Great job. And Buffalo.
Winnipeg is struggling for some, I mean, obviously this team's been struggling, but dude, If you beat the fourth worst team in the league last night, if you beat the Ducks, who fucking suck, like the Ducks suck.
I was looking at their stats pregame. They have a negative goal. They have a negative 100 goal differential.
Jeez. Why am I surprised we could only score one goal on a team that has a negative 100 goal differential?
That's like the third worst in the past 20 years.
Why does that not shock the fucking living hell out of me? You could have been within 2 points of the final wildcard spot. You could have been right back in the race last night. I mean, we've been saying this all fucking year, but all you have to do is beat a shitty team. That's it. You think the leadership team on this fucking roster would help you win one of those games? One.
You'd think the combined Stanley Cup, isn't the whole thing about bringing all these guys in that they know how to win? You'd think that would translate to maybe one win against Anaheim, Ottawa, Detroit, Columbus, Philly.
Is this theory, like the Flames of the past decade have proven this theory is not real, have we not by now?
Hey, they're still plugging along with it, right? I mean, why did they spend a shit ton of money on?
We should go get Jeff Carter in the offseason, eh? How many is he won?
Don't give them any ideas.
He'll help us show up for these fucking teams that are in the lottery race, right?
I can just see the guys who know how to win, right? They're getting together before the game against Anaheim. You know, Coleman, Kadri, Lucci,
helping out all the guys that don't know how to win.
Okay, here's how
they haven't won a Stanley Cup yet.
It didn't have anything to do with those guys being on teams with like Kucherov and Stamkos and McKinnon and Makar. Yeah. And they know how to win.
I like how we always acquire the third and fourth liners from those Stanley Cup winning teams. It's just bred in them.
We know how to do it.
They're all meeting before the game. Hey, you guys that don't know how to win, here's what we got to do. We go out, we win. Dye your hair. When are you going to dye your hair? It helps you win.
I swear to God, there was a shift last night. Lucci, I don't know what the hell he was on the ice while he was stuck in his own zone. It was like minute 40. And he just, I don't think I've seen a shift like this in the National Hockey League in my life. He just stood there for a solid minute.
He was like, gassed probably too.
He was just freaking wiped.
All the standing and alert. It's tiring me out. Then there's the shift where you skate blade breaks and he's floundering all over the place.
That's the summation of the Flames as an organization right there, man.
I went to the Vernon Vipers game last night.
Good call.
So we went out before the game because we had an hour difference. Saw the first period. I think I saw the first goal. We were up 1-0, right?
Yeah, it was a very Flames goal. It was on the power play, but it was a shot from Lindholm that bounced in off of Backlund's leg.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. That's
the only goal they could score against the worst defensive team in the league.
The one that has the biggest goal differential, not even in this.
100. Dude, their shot differential this year. Before the game last night, it was negative 668.
Yeah, that's how you know you're in for a loss. It's pretty easy. This I won 100 bucks or 80 bucks again last night.
The Ducks have had, up until last night, 10 regulation wins this season, and last night was their 11th.
How? Oh man! Wow.
I can keep going, but I think the point is made.
Weren't we there fourth of the year or something like that earlier in the season?
Dude, I can't remember a single game.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Every single episode this year has been, okay, what the fuck was that? Are they going to get it together? I guess we just wait and see what's going to happen. And it's just repeat, 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 repeat. One of my favorite things people have been saying this week, and listen, I definitely kind of got sucked in. Who wouldn't? If you won last night, you would have been 2 points out. I was like, fuck.
Well, you're actually getting decent goaltending now.
Yeah, Markstrom's been great. Biggest Achilles heel of the season, and now you can't score against Anaheim. Okay. But I was kind of getting back sucked into the playoff thing, but it's like, the thing I keep hearing from people is like, oh, if the Flames manage to get in, they'll be such a tough out in the first round. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? We can't even beat Anaheim. We can't even score a goal. Between, we played Minnesota and Anaheim and scored one goal. You think Colorado or Edmonton or Dallas or Vegas, whoever would play us in the first round, is not looking at us as like, holy shit, that'd be a great first round matchup. Jonathan Huberdeau has 42 points. You think anyone's scared of him in a first round matchup? No. Yeah,
like, who do we target in this team?
Who is the shutdown? Okay, as long as we shut down back Michael Backlund, we'll be good.
Foley. Just block the passes going to DeFoley and we'll win the game. I mean, who else can score on this fucking team?
Oh, it's just a sad state of affairs, man.
I didn't get too excited. I mean, hey, I'm not cheering for losses. I can't. It's not in my DNA. So you watch that Dallas game. That was awesome. It was a good game. Back and forth. Flames had to make it interesting, though, on themselves, mm-hmm. right? Because didn't we have the lead?
We had 2-0 and 4-2 leads.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we know if you ever have a 2-goal lead, you know it's not going to last. You know it's going to end up in a tie or a loss going into overtime.
Most blown leads and only team in the NHL who doesn't have a comeback win after two periods. Yep.
How do you have 0? What's this
not
team?
Not even 1. It's like 0-14-3 or something by now. Something ridiculous. In fact, I heard last night, not only are they the only team who doesn't have one, every other team in the league at least has 2.
Oh, my God. What a frustrating season, dude.
Dude, it's just been, it's torture.
And it's the thing is that it's true. What we said earlier on, and you have to scrape and claw and basically... Like it's almost an impossibility to win a game. It's like climbing Mount Everest. So when it happens, you're just like, holy fuck. Like, if, oh my God, wow. We won. And then fucking. Like, it's crazy.
And what's even more crazy is any like goodwill that this team builds up is like instantly squandered, right? Like you watch those every time we miraculously win a game, it's like, oh man, this could be a turning point, right? And like that was the thing after both those Minnesota and Dallas games. It was like, man, the Flames really showed some resilience, you know. It was like Markstrom's playing great. Maybe they can. Maybe this is finally the galvanizing moment. Lose to Anaheim. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, look at this Dallas game. Richie scores. What was that? His first shift as a Flame?
First or second, yeah.
Do we want to talk about the trades real quick? Might as well. Richie for Richie.
Just want to say that the Nashville Predators are still ahead of us in terms of winning percentage. And we elected to not only not sell, but to buy. So predictable. I fucking knew it was going to happen, too. It was so funny because it was like, it was like one of the last trades, too. It was like, I knew Brad couldn't help himself. He's just sitting there all day like, hey, I'm not going to do anything. And then the deadline comes and it's like, oh, I just had to get that shitty fourth line player and that depth defense, but I just had to do it. It's an addiction for this man. He's going to be on that show. What's that show, Intervention? Remember? That's going to be Brad one day.
Hoarders.
Yeah, Hoarders, Intervention, take your freaking pick.
Richie for Richie, dude. How funny is this?
And you know what? I think Brett is... I think I prefer Brett, to be honest, so far.
You what?
I prefer Brett.
Well, Richie looked good in his first game, I thought.
Yeah.
Against Dallas.
He took 19 bad penalties, was my only issue.
Like, he was winning all the puck battles and the power play and whatnot. And
yeah, his first period was pretty baller. He had, like, three scoring chances, a goal. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really recall him seeing much in the second game. And we're going to get into some Sutter talk today because he started to piss me off. But here we go again. Like, if you're Nick Ritchie, where do you slot on 90% of the teams in this league?
You're a healthy scratch.
So, of course, he's playing in our top six. What? It doesn't matter what coach it is. It's an organizational fucking thing, right? Every single coach we've had in the past five coaches under Brad Tree Living.
He just needs one more coach.
He just needs that sixth one. It's the sixth time is the charm for Brad. It's not his fault. It's always the coach. It's always never the guy that fucking brought in all these.
What's he supposed to do, bro? What's he supposed to do?
He's not supposed to win. We know that.
Yeah.
Not supposed to get results. Supposed to get jerked off for doing nothing.
I like how this has somehow turned into a Brad versus Daryl thing, as if they're like not. I like how people think like Daryl is just like secretly telling Brad what to do. And it's like, this trade was the most Brad Tree Living thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Have you not seen this guy's track record since the fucking moment he took office? So all he does is acquire fucking 13th forwards and 7th D-men. That's his MO. That's his bread and his butter. We're sitting here wondering why we haven't won jack shit. He has done some good things too, but at the end of the day, what's going to happen with this team? Obviously, they're just going to reload next year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or are they going to go on a run? If they could only beat fucking, at least we don't have Columbus and Chicago to play. Maybe we'll have a better chance of winning, hey?
Well, let's see. We do have what? I've heard we have the easiest schedule, because this has been the thing all year, right? Oh, the Flames, they're just having strengths of schedule.
Yeah, so that means we have the hardest schedule.
So what do we got? We just lost to Anaheim. We got to play Ottawa tomorrow.
Well, hey, they're kind of a good bad team now. So,
right. So maybe, we might actually be up for the task.
We'll probably get a loser point. We're on home ice now, though, so we can't win at home.
Apparently. We play Arizona, which was a feat of freaking what to beat them last time. The shots were like 900-2 and we were still losing. So
That was a comeback.
Yeah.
But not in the third period.
Not in the third. So two shitty teams, then Vegas in Vegas, which we still have not won in Vegas.
Automatic loss. Don't even bother going.
Dallas on Saturday night, we seem to match up well. And then you have LA, Anaheim, Vegas, Anaheim again, San Jose, Vancouver. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of potential to screw up.
You play Anaheim two more times. You play San Jose two more times. Vancouver two more times. Nashville.
I've said this
Winnipeg
like five times. Everyone's like, oh, and like I agree. Like, I think Winnipeg's free fall. Winnipeg will give the Flames every opportunity to remain in this for as long as mathematically possible. But the Flames won't take advantage as we are.
Because how could they be worse than us? All they have to do is not be worse than us. And we can't beat any of these teams.
We can't beat Anaheim.
We can't beat Chicago coming up. We can't beat Vancouver. We can't beat we beat San Jose. Can we beat them again? Probably not.
We can maybe beat the San Jose. Maybe.
Maybe. It'll take a monumental feat of strength, though. These guys will be exhausted.
They'll be Lucic
won't be happy. Lucic will not be happy about the amount of effort it takes.
There better not be any Lucic. That's probably his how to win speech pregame. No, I don't want any riots tonight. If I see any of you guys in any scrums or engaging in anything that's emotional, if you make me late for dinner tonight, I will kill you. That's Lucic's how to win speech. I want to leave this rink. It's funny because he's always on Instagram like right after the game. Like, 10 minutes after the game, there's always Lucic stories. Like, how old is this guy?
What's he making stories about?
Well, he's just like reposting stuff or just like shit. It's just like, I can just see him like walking off the ice, doesn't give a shit about the outcome of the game, heading to his phone. It's just brutal. And it was Matt Tkachuk last night. Freaking Panthers are down 2-0 to Chicago late in the game. Three primary assists to lead the comeback, 4-3 Panthers win.
Well, remember, he was our comeback guy. He always kickstarted comebacks. Or if the game was close, he always was a go-ahead guy or something.
Well,
we don't have anybody that fucking...
He seemed to be the only guy on the team who has any freaking heart. I mean, now it's like Pelche. That's it.
Yeah, no shit, eh?
Like, does anybody else have a pulse?
How many clips are we going to see per week where Pelche is just elated for a goal or anything remotely close to a win? And it's like he's trying to fucking energize the living dead. That's what these guys are. They're fucking walking dead. No wonder they can't get up for these fucking games. Like it's the same thing every time. There's Pelche, and then the guy isn't even happy. The guy that scored doesn't even care. I guess that there's a one clip of Kadri and him on the bench, and Markstrom makes a save, but we haven't won the game yet. Kadri looks like Kadri's into the game. Everybody else is sitting down. Kadri's standing up. There's him and Pelche are the only two.
We've come full circle because it's like we really need Jeff Ward back to tell these fuckers to get emotionally engaged here.
Apparently, they just need to listen to some music and practice. And all right, let's get into the Daryl thing because
have some fun.
My biggest thing is, dude, change the fucking lines. And I don't, when I say change the lines, I don't mean put Pelche.
You don't mean put Lucic in Pelche's spot?
Fuck.
Which he did last night for a couple shifts.
Okay. Let's just go back to basic no-brainer. And I know Daryl's going to have his own modus operandi for how he structures his lineup, but who's the top finisher on this team?
Currently? Like, it's Toffoli currently.
Yeah, it's not even close. Who is apparently the top playmaker on this team?
I'll say Huberto for the sake of the argument. Well, the guy can't make a pass to save his life these days.
No, he really can't. Unless he does, maybe he should try to.
Unless it's to the other team.
I think he should try doing two spins.
Double up the spin.
If he spun twice and then made the pass.
A little more.
What he should do? You know what he should do is spin and then spin back.
Do a full reverse 360. 180, 180, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Fake the spin halfway, then spin back the other way, then try and pass it. Maybe that will.
That's
maybe
the key.
It's an equilibrium thing and it's going to unlock something.
If Daryl just let him spin more, he'd probably have 100 points.
If I remember, it's funny. I'm just trolling, but on Twitter, someone's like, well, it's Huberto's ice time. Daryl's not playing him enough. Imagine if he had this much ice time. So what? We're going to see double the spins? Is that
more spins and giveaways?
More spins, more giveaways. I like how he's finally getting OT shifts again, and he's still giving it away. It's like, dude, learn your fucking lesson.
So much for being the best 3-on-3 player in the world.
So much for fucking being good. What's he on pace for now? Less.
53 points?
Less than what he was on pace for when we went over the drop-off numbers.
It's just funny how we have pretty much accepted as a fan base that he's not going to impact games. It's just like post-game, we're all just like, what are you going to do?
Who else could maybe help us win a game? Because it's not going to be this doofus. But why wouldn't you try? Because he needs to get his game going. And I think it's a valid argument that I see out there. Who's he supposed to pass to?
Nick Ritchie, of course. He's the key in all of this.
I love shit, man. Well, who was it? Was it Wincolm on Twitter? It was our last existential crisis before.
It was the Minnesota boot off the ice game, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was because we just required Nick Ritchie. It was. I think it was the Wincolm. But they're like, the tweet was something like, there's only one man that can save us now. And it's a picture of Nick Ritchie's hockey shot, which if you haven't seen it, look it up. If you want another summation of the Calgary Flames organization currently, go look up Nick Ritchie's.
Go look at their acquisition at the trade deadline's headshot.
Exactly. That's only one man that can save us now. But like, dude, why wouldn't you try Hubert? Why is he keeping Hubert and Kadri together as if it's his last dying fucking hope of anything? They suck together. Do they not?
Yeah, it's a so bad
what
a match.
What is the point?
It's so bad.
How easy is it to replace their production with any other combination? Any. Like, they don't bring any value that you can't get from Hubert playing with anybody else. Same can be said from the other winger on the top line. Like, he's not going to do it now.
Well, I think that's what I was going to say is, like, because you hear all these ridiculous things like, oh, Daryl's trying to sabotage the team. He's doing it purposefully. I think Daryl is getting caught up in trying to make a point too much. And maybe he knows the season's lost anyway, so he's just going to be a dick and make a point. But that seems to be what's going on. It's like, because we've heard him talk about how he's tried Huberdeau everywhere. He's like, what am I supposed to do? So this is probably a lesson in, yeah, figure it out for yourself, dummy.
Yeah, but you got to try it again.
Oh, you sure do.
How can you look at what you're getting out of Huberdeau and Kadri?
What are you getting out of anybody that, other than like, okay, Pelche plays anywhere and he's fine. What are you getting out of any of these combinations in the top six that are, you're like, yeah, I need to keep that together? Like, Lindholm has he even been playing the last 5 weeks?
Dude, how many goals does Lindholm have in 2023?
2023?
Yeah.
Good question. Let's find out. It's not that many. I can't even think of one.
I mean, you look at the Oilers, you already know. It's a different story with the amount of talent there is. But if they ever get into a scoring drought, all the coach ever does is put McDavid and Drysdale together.
Well,
your team's scoring 10 goals a night again.
And you saw what happened when he put the Kachuk, Gaudreau, Lindholm line together. It's just like, put your three best players together and just see what happens.
Yep. When he finally did that,
that's when everything turned.
That's when everything turned. He's got to do it again. You have to try Huberdeau, Lindholm, and well, at this point, Toffoli. He's your best sniper. But, dude, why wouldn't you put Huberdeau with two snipers?
What's weird to me is that, and again, maybe he's just trying to teach Huberdeau a lesson, but like, it's weird that he broke that trio up so early on, right? They played like, what, 7 games together, and the Flames won.
Was that it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were reunited for a brief period back when Huberdeau came back from injury or something. I can't remember when, but it wasn't very long regardless. But he broke them up, and ever since then, Lindholm and Huberdeau, like, they don't even play power play minutes together. Like, what's going on there? Like, it seems like such a perfect.
You got to try it again.
Like, I don't know what the rationale is. I don't know why, but they have not, well, for whatever reason, the coaching staff does not want Huberdeau playing with Lindholm, apparently. It's really weird.
You absolutely have to try it again. The other thing is, like, dude, Pelche needs more time to develop before playing in the top line. I guess there is no real top line. All the lines are all kind of the same.
You have the Backlund line. That's good. And then you have every other line that's not good, pretty much.
Like, there's so many different combinations that you could try, right?
Well, you have to make sure you have your spot allocated for Lucic and your spot allocated for Ritchie now. See, that's the other thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, like, I saw a great analogy for what it's like. Okay, it's annoying that Daryl loves guys like Ritchie and will play him, but it's like Brad acquiring him is like somebody putting a beer in the fridge of an alcoholic. Like, why are you enabling that behavior?
Yeah. I like how it's, what's the other Ritchie? Brett Ritchie. We sign him in the offseason. Everyone's like, oh, fuck, here we go. He was decent for the first quarter. Got injured. Hasn't been good enough to stay in the lineup. Well, let's try the brother. Put him in the top six. It's like, oh, you make a trade now, you have to play it all over again.
So fucking unnecessary. Again, like I say, that trade is emblematic of Brad as a whole. It's like unnecessary. Why? What the hell do you need 16, 17 games of Nick Ritchie for? When, like, Walker Dewar has been awesome, not playing. Like, this is the bubble. This is the bubble shit all over again, where it's like, hey, dude, why the shit did you acquire Dom Simon and Joachim Nordstrom and Josh Levo, who is actually good, and Nikita Nesterov, and now they're in a shit season. They're playing over Valimaki and Shillington and all these other guys that we want to get a look at. And like, now we lose Valimaki for nothing because you didn't know what he was 2 years ago. Like, fuck. Same thing. We did. It was so unnecessary. I don't need to see 10 games of Troy Stetcher. I really don't. Like, get out of here. Dennis Gilbert wasn't doing a fine enough job. You don't want to see maybe he can be a legit NHL defenseman next year on the cheap. No. We're going to bring Troy Stetcher. Like, why? Makes no sense. So unnecessary.
Then you wonder why you can't make any progress forward.
Exactly. And then it's like, I just think the Valimaki situation is so funny because, like, I'm not saying we were like, oh yeah, Valimaki should have made the team. They made the wrong move. But it's like, why didn't you address this sooner, right? Well, it's because you had 15 veterans who you acquired for no reason playing in front of him when you wanted to get a look at him in a meaningless 10 games of a season you were going to make the playoffs. It's like now, okay, like instead of seeing what Matt Phillips, okay, now would be a really good time to see if Matthew Phillips is like a legitimate NHL player. No, Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude. Like you said, you have Rizicka and...
Yeah, I forgot about Rizicka.
You have Rizicka and Dewar. Please leave them on the fourth line. Like, here's what your line should be. Huberto with Lindholm to Foley. Obviously, Matt Mangiapane back in Coleman. That should be your second line. Or maybe that's your first line. Maybe that's your top line. And then Huberto, Lindholm, Toffoli is your second line. Let Kadri center Pelche and Dubé. That should be your third line. Like Kadri should be demoted, dude.
Kadri's been dog water.
Then your fourth line. Like, why isn't that? Where the fuck is Dewar?
Yeah, is he hurt or something? Nobody's asked. I don't understand why no one's asked.
Another Ritchie get precedent over Walker Dewar,
who's been awesome.
Or at least play the two together. Put Lewis in the center. Like you said, though, you gotta have fucking big man Lucic in the lineup.
Yeah, because he's got to be there in case, you know, guys take liberties. What does he do? Did you see Ryan Hartman completely, like, bitch slap our entire team while Lucic stands and looks on against Minnesota?
Have you noticed how Lucic is always on the ice too? It's not even just like, oh, too bad Lucic wasn't on the ice. He's right there, always.
He literally watches Ryan Hartman two-hand slash Rasmus Anderson and does nothing.
Skates the opposite direction.
Skates away.
God, it's going to be nice when he's not on this team.
16, 17 more games? Well, that's a lot. I don't know, man.
Like, how long ago would Bill Guerin have bought out this guy? I'm not even kidding.
He would have bought him out. He would have bought James Neal out or sent him to the minors, and that would have been that.
What is the problem with admitting your mistake and dealing with it? Instead, you got to pretend like you never made one, or you got to try and
patch it up. You don't deal with things. That's his whole freaking psychosis.
And then you're stuck with it. Lucic is holding this team back.
He has been for 5 years. You made a good comment. We were talking about how the Leafs were just like loading up, right? And able to acquire O'Reilly. And they made some weird moves. But, you know, it's like, you were like, how many bad contracts do they have? Zero. How can you make your team better? How can you, you know, like, how are all these teams like acquiring all these guys? Well, they don't have $5 million in Lucic every single year. That's how.
He's been holding his team back for at least, well, How much value has he brought to this team since we acquired
him? Dude, he's brought dick all. What has he done? I'm so sick of this because I've been posting the Lucic countdown, contract expiry countdown. Listen, if you like Lucic, that's fine with me. But it's just, I don't understand how everybody defends. Like, I still get like, what do you hate Lucic so much for? What's your problem with Lucic? What's my problem with Lucic? Why don't you hate this guy? Since the second he got here, he's received nothing but praise and admiration from a fan base who he apparently doesn't give a shit about.
Okay, he's blocked half of them.
He whines and mopes if he doesn't play. Like, what kind of
Just a boat of a contract.
How many goals does he have this year?
Well, he's not expected to score, is he?
He's like the only.
Makes 6 mil. Oh, maybe, yeah. If he made 10 like Huberto, then he'd be expected to score. Oh wait, that doesn't fucking work either, does it? Dude, Huberto better go off next season, or he should be getting booted off the ice every single fucking game.
I know we want to keep this.
Where is this fucking loser?
I know we want to keep this in the Sutter discussion, and we will, but it's like, what the hell? This is insane. Like last night, Kadri makes a great pass to him, which he doesn't do often.
Sutter's fault.
Too busy hogging the puck. Huberto is like, he's in the slot by himself for like.
That's Sutter's fault, dude.
Easily a five count, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four. Like, and he has the puck and he's like a deer in the headlights. He doesn't know what to do.
That's because Sutter makes all the players wear earpieces. if you watch next time.
Daryl's just in his ear. Don't
just watch Daryl. Watch him talk while Huberto has the puck. He's telling Huberto what to do. And he's self-set. He does not want Huberto to be successful.
And that's the point, right? It's like, okay, I understand that there's some things that Daryl, how he coaches, that like, okay, maybe they're holding Huberto back from being one of the highest scoring players in the NHL, but 42 points. And again, like, I watch every single game. This guy makes so many bad plays. And like, and he's just like, what do you do if you think it's like Daryl Sutter is like telling him, hey, yeah, you're alone in front of the net. Don't shoot. Fuck that one up and make sure you don't even get a scoring chance. Like he's just been so bad this year. It's unbelievable. Like, does he miss Florida that much? I understand, dude. You know how fucking gross it's been out here this last week? Like, there's no more depressing time in any place on earth probably than March in Alberta.
Yeah,
it snowed like 30 centimeters last night alone. It's been minus 30, minus 25 all week. It's been brutal. So I guess he misses Florida. I would too. But dude, what are you doing? Why are you so bad? You're this bad? You're not this bad, are you? How can you be this bad?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's not even like he's not great. Like, he's not good at all.
Yeah, like
he
said,
he's a bad hockey player.
It's not like he's like, this is the example I keep using is like, I think there are times when he makes passes that, like, if he had better line mates, it would maybe lead to a scoring chance. But it's like, this isn't the bubble year where Gaudreau's playing with Monahan and Richie and they both suck and it's just like the poor guy. This is just like, yeah, you keep screwing up or you're not having an impact on the. There are nights when, like, you don't even know he's playing. It's like, did he play tonight?
What do you mean there are nights? That's most nights. There are the odd night where you notice him.
Yeah. So, and then you like, you look at how he played against the Rangers, right? Like, was Daryl not coaching that night? Guy was fucking unreal for one game. So, you know, he can do it. About doing it. It's insane.
He's made a few good plays, but that's it. Like, that was a great pass to Toffoli to win the game in Dallas.
Or was that Alan Walsh tweeted out? It's like, what a pass. And all the comments are like, my grandma could make that. It was a good, it's a good pass, but
yeah, it was a good pass.
The point remains the guy has
but like that's
42
like,
points this season.
That's a good pass. And is that it? That's all he's done this year? That one play. Pass. Like it takes 10, 12 games for him to make one play. Oh yeah, let's all get off our feet for this guy. No, you gotta do that every fucking night. You gotta do it every shift. supposedly. That's what $10 million players fucking do.
You're going to be making shift. $2 million less than Connor McDavid.
We don't want an impact play once every 10, 12 games. You're going to be impacting every fucking shift. Yeah, he's going to be making Connor McDavid money. 40
he's points. Just counting down the days until he gets to go back to Florida for the summer.
God, he's been bad. But, dude, like, okay. I really think Daryl's got to shift. You got to break up that. You got to break up Huberto and Kadri, man.
Well, oh, yeah, totally. That's holding this team back for sure. Like, those guys are like, what? Oil and water?
Seems like it.
Like, it's just brutal.
So, and then, you know, there's other things like the player personnel decision, which doesn't bother me as much. I mean, he seems to be playing his fourth line against the top line a lot at home.
Yeah, there was, who are they playing? It was the Toronto game.
It's every game, dude.
Oh, Marner's out against Lucic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're stuck on their own end for 2 minutes. Wow. Oh, they took a penalty because they're so tired.
Crazy.
Wow, that's a real interesting... I think
of regular forwards, Lucic has the worst on-ice goal differential, which is pretty crazy, given that he shouldn't be playing that much to even rack up those kind of totals.
And this is one of those things, I think, where it's more so the other coach is matching up and Daryl doesn't actually do matchups, right?
Daryl has been very averse to matchups in his time here, it seems.
Which is weird because, you know, he does like his defense. But, you know, obviously, like we've broken
down. Yeah, he'll do defensive matchups versus forward matchups more. So,
yeah. But even still, it's not like he's doing that either. I don't know, man. The thing is everybody's harping on Daryl. Well, not everybody. But let's have a discussion here because, I mean, he's... The thing is like the thing you keep coming back to is look at all the 5-on-5 stats. If you want, it's not a systems thing. The system is fine. Because you look at all the metrics that point to winning hockey. This team is actually in the top 10 in most of them. Offensively and defensively. Maybe except for high danger.
Yeah, chances. I would say the only thing they're not good at and they're bad at is like the ratio of high danger chances to chances. Like the totals of both of those things are pretty high, but like relative to how many shots they take, they don't really create a lot of quality scoring chances.
Which is indicative of the boring hockey we're stuck watching because
fired at the net type
stuff. That's what makes hockey exciting is getting high danger chances, scoring or not. But the high danger chances leads to scoring. So, but I would say what 25% of that's coaching, 75% of that's players. Like if you're a player and you understand the system is generate shot quantity, but are you going to continue to elect to shoot from the blue line versus try and getting closer? Like, I'm sure Daryl's not saying don't try and get close to the net. Because, I mean, we've heard him discuss with the media throughout the season that we're not getting into the slot. We're not getting into the dangerous areas in the offensive zone. So he knows that there's, you know, we're missing that aspect of the game. I'm sure he tells the players that. So I don't necessarily know, like, maybe he's not putting enough emphasis on, hey, guys, this is how you score. I know you've been playing hockey your entire life, but you actually have to get close to the net. You have to make plays where you're finding someone in front of you. You got to get it there. That's how you score. What is it? Is it the system that's preventing the players from getting to those places? I mean, I just keep coming back to Johnny Gaudreau, even Matthew Tkachuk. Those type of players, and we've seen it in Johnny's career, because when he's when he was when he wasn't effective. He was never going to the danger areas. And then all of a sudden, wow, Johnny's unreal again. But watch, every time he gets zone entry, he's cutting to the middle of the ice. And that opens up all the different plays. He's going to the dangerous areas. This team right now is spending a lot of time on the perimeter. And they kind of just inch closer to the net, but never really penetrate on a consistent basis. Like, they just seem to be satisfied with shot quantity. And they're not necessarily trying to make plays to the front of the slot, plays to the front of the net. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have a player driving.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like they're satisfied with shooting at that really odd angle and then hoping for – it's like that old – there's two ways to run a power play, right? You got the new way, which is really effective, which you just do a shitload of cross ice passes and cross crease passes because that opens everybody up. The defense had the whole defensive structure of the penalty kill has to keep opening up. Or you do it the old school way, just pass around the horn, take a shot from the point with traffic, and hope like hell that it goes in.
Ray,
we're playing that way, 5-on-5 throughout the duration of the game. We're not scoring. And Daryl, I don't know, man. Like, Daryl keeps saying that because we don't have elite players. I didn't like that when he was saying that about our team when we had Johnny, Chucky, Monahan. Because, like, it's – remember when he first took over?
Mm-hmm.
So I will say on record, like, that's one thing I don't like that he did right away, but it seemed to work the next season. Worked just fine. Those guys were 100. Those guys were elite. They were the top of the league. So he couldn't necessarily say, you know, and I don't understand what his approach with publicly stating he's got no stars on his team is.
Well, and now he said many times this year, like the last time about Lindholm, he's like, well, he played with two stars last year, you know, plus 60, 100 plus points. Like, yeah, so now that they're gone, they're stars.
Yeah, so I have a problem with that because you bring in Huberto, and he was the exact same. If Johnny was a star last year, then so was Huberto.
Huberto had as many points.
They were the exact same. The exact same. So mentally, you got to think everybody's different. Everybody's motivated differently. Players are motivated differently. But I remember when Daryl first took over and he was harping that, I was kind of like, well, wait a minute. Like, how does that make Johnny and Chucky better players? It did. It really did because they had career seasons. But so I didn't think about it as much when he was saying the same shit to start this season. No, we got no star players. We don't have guys. Even at the time, we didn't because they're all playing like shit. But if that's the message you're saying, you're telling Huberto, your new stud, quote unquote, air quotes. Huberto is really struggling, dude. And it doesn't even look like there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him. The only light at the end of the tunnel, apparently, is all his contract doesn't start till next year. That's what a lot of fans are holding on to.
He'll be better when that huge extension kicks in.
Yeah. How does it make any sense? So, and this whole thing of like, Alan Walsh does have a point. And I don't think he has a point in terms of sticking up for his dog shit player. But the other point is change it. Huberto and Kadri are doing dick all for you. Try Huberto again. Like, at what point do you have to try and win as a team? Like, you got to do what's better for the team and be like, is it better for the team if Huberto plays with these players? In the big span of things now, over how many games we played? 66. We played 66 games. when Huberto, it's now a small sample size. Now that we played these this many games in the season, when Huberto was playing with Lindholm, like now that was that seems like eight eons ago. He's played for with Kadri for what 30 games now, 30 plus. It's not working. You're still generating a goal a game against the team's Anaheim. Worst, the league's worst. Change the fucking lines. Sutter is pissing me off for that.
Well, he's getting caught up, I think, in I'm going to prove a point, itis here, as yes, opposed to like what you said, what's better for the team.
Yeah. Prove a point to the detriment of the team, not okay. Prove a point to the benefit of the team, sure. I just don't see it working at this point.
Yeah, and I've been very with Daryl doing this in the past. It's like, okay, he's got a long-term plan. Like, I think something that is like, I know everybody's like tank, whatever, but like, I think something that would be hugely important for this team, who's going to be the same mostly next year, is to go on a fucking run right now. Like, that would do wonders for next year. If you rattle off 15 to 20, maybe you don't make the playoffs. But then coming in next year, like, man, see, we knew we could do it. So, like, that's of key importance to get these guys going right now, not to be, like, hammering home whatever point you're trying to prove to Jonathan Huberto by making him play with Kadri and Richie. It's like, a much more beneficial thing to this team long-term would be to have some success in the last 15 games and set the table for next year.
Yeah, I had the same thought this week, too. If you're going to – this was, I think, maybe before the two wins, but – if you're going to miss the playoffs, you don't just pack it in. You know you're not selling. You just picked up – you just fucking
– you should have sold. You didn't. Now
– you know you're reloading next year. And Daryl knows this too, but you're now playing for next season. You're preparing for next season. You're still working on your game as a team. But like you said, dude, if you go on a run, I think you probably will make the playoffs.
Well, they kind of had it set up there, but
blew it. You're still right there.
If Winnipeg loses tonight again, then you're still kind of right there.
You do play Winnipeg coming up. That's a 4-point game.
But it's massive. But like, I don't think you can under like the because let's say this season finishes how it's been going all year. Huberto, everybody goes their separate ways in the summer. Like nobody's chomping at the bit to come back in September. They're just like, fuck.
Yeah. No
shit. It's like, I think that's what was a key to this team's success. I don't know. Like, Daryl's got to change something, right? And every time we've been super frustrated and it gets to a boiling point, he has kind of made the adjustments in the past. But this year, he seems to be really freaking stubborn about it. I don't know. I still think the best thing for this team, you got to figure out the next 15 games, how to like, how can we have 15 awesome games and see some freaking results?
Yeah. You got to build something.
It has to, because like this team, for everybody who thinks they're going to blow it up or whatever, like this is going to be the same team next year, right? Like that they didn't sell the deadline. Like if you had any doubts about this team reloading next year, that was proven false at the deadline when they didn't do anything. So,
hey folks, just a word from some sponsors. So DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. You can make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you can get another shot to cash in. You can throw it out on all major action for golf, MMA, baseball, everything. There's same game parlay spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props. You have endless betting options. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That promo code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. If you want to save $20 on some tickets to a sporting event or a concert, you can use our promo code INTHEDOMEPOD over at SeatGeek.com on your first purchase. So you'll save $20 on your first purchase of $50 or more with our promo code INTHEDOMEPOD. Back to the show.
They've got to make it. You got to make it work. You have to do something.
Expect the same roster. He'll probably re-sign fucking Nick Ritchie.
Oh, totally.
Don't expect fucking Duer and Rizicka and Pelche all three to be on this team next season.
That was my biggest problem with the Ritchie deal. It was like, hey, Brett's finally gone at the end of the year. Oh, fuck. We just found the Lucic-Ritchie replacement. Good. Awesome. The one good thing is that the Flames are already capped out for next year, so Brad's ability to spend on shitty bottom players is actually quite limited. So
his inability to go out and pay
his inability to pay top dollar for Kevin Rooney on day one of free agency is going to be inhibited.
Rooney, yeah. How many games did he last? Three. His inability to go out and pay top dollar for a guy that won the Stanley Cup 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Knows how to win.
It was so funny because I watched Brad's press conference, which was like, okay, is that from this year, last year, the year before that? Is it from 2016? If you showed me Brad Treliving 2020 trade deadline and Brad Treliving 2023 trade deadline, I wouldn't know which one is which because it's the exact same stuff. But then I watched Steve Yzerman's full 30-minute press conference, and if you're just curious and a hockey fan, I suggest you go do that. It's just night and day difference, man, between a guy who knows what he wants from his team and has a clear direction and knows how – has a plan for building a winner compared to a guy who's just doing everything on the fly every year.
Instead of a vision, it's just believe in the group.
Stevie Y, yeah, literally. Stevie Y is talking about, like, because they weren't expected to make trades because they're kind of right in this thing, but he was talking about how it's so important to recoup assets for players if they're not going to be signed here. So talking to players and making sure you have a clear direction on if they're signing so you can move them if they're not.
Oh, wow.
Making sure you're building through the draft and collecting as much draft capital as possible. Making sure that your team is built like a young group who can grow into something together. Just, you know, all these tenets of.
Oh, I thought it was just all about having a good dressing room and having Stanley Cup champions.
Everybody loves each other.
It is a weird, I don't know, man. It just seems time and time again that whole belief of, well, he's won a Stanley Cup before. Even outside of the Flames, like, when was the last time that really made a difference on a team's acquisition?
It doesn't. Like, no. maybe you can what you've done like 25 years ago when it's like, oh, okay, like Dallas acquires Joe Nieuwendyk and he like wins the Conn Smythe. Like maybe those years and years and years ago when it's like a really good team but the thing is, Joe Nieuwendyk was a star player. It's not like he was just like only there because he had won the cup once. Like, it's, I don't think it's ever been true.
Because it's like you win the Stanley Cup because you're good now.
Exactly. Like, you win the Stanley Cup because you have really good players.
Not because you have guys that have won it in the past and they know a secret sauce. There's no secret.
Like, what's the secret? I think they're in the dressing room sharing the secret. Like, on the Colorado Avalanche last year, who was on the team who had won the Stanley Cup?
I don't think anybody. Was there someone on the back end, maybe? Cole? Did he win before? I don't know.
You know the principal guys.
Who was responsible for the cup? Makar, McKinnon, Kadri. All first time cup winners.
Burakovsky.
There must be somebody that had won the cup for like 5 years ago that was in there giving them the secret, though. Must have been.
It's the only logical explanation for it.
And then we must have just have too many secrets, eh? That's probably what it is. We got so many cup winners past that there must be just different ways they did it, and everybody's confused which one to pick, eh?
Yeah, it's like Lucic had his.
We got too many winners.
Back with Bergeron and Marchand, this is how we did it. And Coleman's
we just gave them the
puck. Kucherov and Stamkos, this is how we did it.
Like, no, Cotter's like, it's different now. Everybody's just too confused. We got too many cup winners. The Foley's like, hey, this is how we did it. It with Daryl, right?
And listen, like, I think the problem is
the secret to winning the cup is be good now.
Have good players. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, oh yeah, like Toffoli has like saying that or like thinking that's something important. But the problem is the Flames pay a premium for that instead of other things that would actually help them win a cup. Like, if you want to bring in Trevor Lewis on a league min deal and say, yeah, he's won a couple cups, that's fine with me. But when you're like sacrificing millions and millions and millions of dollars on your roster, primarily for that, in like Troy Brouwer. And not to say Coleman's bad, but it's just the way the Flames have prioritized things has always been way out of whack.
Yeah, good in the room and one cups.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll pay fucking an extra $5 million for that.
Totally.
We'll fucking hang on to anchor contracts just for that.
The teams who like just won the cup are like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, we'll just continue being good.
Yeah, we'll just continue to find really good players. And so have fun with that.
You had posted an interesting stat, because when the Kings, the LA Cup winning Kings, went on their run, they had a similar record to the current Calgary Flames.
Somebody sent me this a couple of weeks ago. Because
it was true. Remember, like, they got hot right at the end.
Yeah.
They weren't even picked to make the playoffs.
They barely made it as the eighth seed.
They went on an absolute run, an absolute tear at the end of the season. When's the fucking, no one could beat them. And you want to talk about, Daryl knows what happened. I mean, that's why he's been saying we just need Markstrom to go get hot. And he's been good. He's been good since he said that.
It's funny, if you look at the standings from that year, who do you think was the ninth place team who missed out on the playoffs behind LA?
Hey, everybody knows. Don't even have to say it.
It's funny because there is like a group of Flames fans that's like currently who have only grown up on like the Gaudreau era, who hasn't really truly experienced the pain of like, yeah, we finish ninth or 10th every year. Like, cause we like, people are frustrated with the playoffs 1 year, no playoffs next year. Play like, okay, do you remember what we went through during those 2000s where it's like, we finished ninth every year. Every year. Not in playoffs, out playoffs. We finished outside every year.
There's literally no worse spot to finish.
There's no worse spot than being just outside the playoffs, middle of the mid-round draft pick. Don't have very many draft picks. Don't have very many prospects. And you are capped out. That's the Flames like every year.
And you're in this situation now. And you're in your window.
Oh, right. Yeah, man. Remember when we were supposed to be better than we were last year? Oh, that seems like a long time ago.
Yeah. Did the Flames get better? Their defense got better. No, it didn't.
Okay. It's worse. I just have a small, like, Uyghur's been very good, but, like, I thought he was supposed to be, like, some offensive dynamo. Does he have any offensive instinct whatsoever?
No.
Like, he makes Travis Hamm, like, because I was thinking about, like, you know what, Travis Hamonic was a guy who I think had some underrated, and he scored 2 goals against Ottawa for the Senators the other night. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he even played. But like, he makes Travis Hamonic look like freaking Bob Uhr. Like, I thought he was supposed to be like really elite offensively. He's like, has no offensive instinct from what I've seen.
No, he's got 1 goal, doesn't he?
Yeah, 1 goal. There's a play last night where the Flames have the puck in the zone for like, like, oh man, they're going to score here. And then it comes to Uyghur and he just like lobs one in. Terrible shot selection.
Yeah, I thought he was more dynamic just based on the scouting report. Yeah. I haven't really actually watched him play before the season, but so the defense didn't get better. Or did it? I don't know. I don't think it did.
I don't know. It's been
the team defense. Wash.
The team defense has definitely gone downhill.
Not as good. Team offenses, obviously.
I don't know. This is just a painful spot to be in. It's being in purgatory. You said it's the worst spot to be in. And we don't even know what to do because, like, everybody's calling for the coach's head or this or that. It's like, nothing's going to change. And honestly, like, I don't even know what you would change anyways. Like, because, like, whereas as frustrating as Daryl has been this season, what's the alternative?
Yeah, I mean,
I still think he's a good coach.
I was thinking this last night. I'm like, how would this team look different if, let's say, a guy like Bill Peters was the coach? Because outside of Daryl, he's probably been the second best coach we've seen in the last, 6, 7 years.
Seven, eight, nine, 10 years. 20, 30 years.
Because when Peters first came in for that first season, this team was fucking really good offensively, not so good defensively, but also had terrible goaltending. So, but I think you would see a more offensive team in terms of chances off the rush. You'd think we'd be generating more high danger chances, I would think. Maybe we'd win a fucking face-off. Especially on the power play. Seems like an impossibility. Power play would be better, wouldn't it?
Well, the thing that surprises me, though, like, again, I know everybody's, like, mad about the Darryl system, and everyone's like, oh, well, the Panthers played east-west, and the Flames played north-south. It's like, yeah, but, like, to a degree, but it's like, the thing that the Flames are supposed to be so good at is what's annoying to me is they suck at. Like, they're supposed to be this forechecking monster, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they haven't been. Like, that's what I think is annoying to me, is, like, they're not even good at the thing they're supposed to be good at.
Yeah.
It's like maybe that's an indication that the players on this team aren't suited. What I think you need to do, which is maybe an absolute impossibility, but like you need to just delete last year from your brain. And this is year one of something of right. Cause that's kind of how it has to function. Like the guys who made the team successful last year are all gone. This is a complete, and I guess we maybe should have had this philosophy all season, but it's like, this is like a new franchise and a new team. And like, you have to look at it that way. It's like, hey, this is year one of maybe a 3 or 4 year learning process.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Which is really depressing based on the fact it was supposed to be just like, not skip a beat, hit our window. But
at the same time, dude, like we could still get in.
Let's look at them. Yeah, if the Jets, if you have to win two more games than the Jets down the stretch, which like doesn't seem that hard, but seems pretty impossible.
And if you can beat them, if you can beat them, you only need one more win than them.
And the other thing is Nashville is like better than both of us. You got to think with all the trades they made, though, they probably won't be able to rattle off a ton of wins. But Nashville is only 2 points behind us with four games in hand. So. Watch Nashville.
Well, yeah,
make it over it. Winnipeg and Calgary.
Seriously.
It's just like, it's mind-boggling how bad everyone else has been too, though. Like, and how this, like, Edmonton's not even been that good, right? Like, they've been way better than us, but they're still only nine points ahead of us?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, what a freaking joke.
So those loser points.
It's insane.
How many loser points do we have?
13 now. The NHL record is, I think, 18 or 19. We'll get close.
Hey, Dallas has 13 loser points, too.
Oh, wow.
They only have 17 regulation losses, though, to our 24.
That would sure be nice to maybe have one of those one-goal games, even if you had two of them.
So do you think... This is
torture.
I just want to discuss this because it's obviously a big discussion point. Because you do have the fan base split into the Darryl haters and the Darryl supporters. And I'm definitely on the Darryl supporter fence, but man, there are things that are frustrating the hell out of me. It's different when you're winning, right? And that's really all it comes down to is like, are we winning or are we losing? But why can't we win these games? And I mean, one of the other arguments is the players aren't playing for Darryl. You always hear this thing like, oh, Darryl's lost the room, or a head coach has lost the room. And I know that, you know, we've had it even from guests on the podcast and even past players. Playing for a Sutter is Sutter's very demanding, apparently. And I get it. It's a long season. It's 82 games. But what boss is not demanding? Like, have you ever had a job where your boss, you're just like, oh, I just wanted to fuck around all day long? No. You're here to work. So, and maybe it just takes a toll. But I don't necessarily think the players don't buy into a Daryl's coaching, because it's like, dude, it's only been fucking, it's been a cup of coffee for some of these guys. Huberto hasn't even played a full season. You're telling me he's already, like, I don't know what it is. Obviously, he's stuck in a funk, and he's probably feeling sorry for himself. It looks like it to me anyways. Yeah, guys like Pelche trying to, you know,
get him out of his depression.
Wake the living dead out there. But they're all in this together. They're all losing together every fucking night. How much of this, you know, team not being able to win games do you think is a result of the players not bought into or not buying into what the coach is still selling? Like, do you think there's validity to this? Or is it, because I kind of think it's more on the other side where it's just like, you're not winning. No one has fun.
Oh, well, yeah, it shouldn't be fun, right?
There's so much fun losing all the time. Never
it's
winning.
Like, it's awesome. It's like in Moneyball when Billy Beane shows up and they're all partying and he's like screaming at them and then it's silent. He's like, that's what losing sounds like. It shouldn't be fun. It's fucking brutal.
And if you're losing, do the players just start blaming on the coach? I don't think so. Because on the other side of the spectrum, it's just like, no, your system is great. You're in top in all these 5-on-5 categories. And I mean, we've spent so much time on this podcast breaking down what's actually wrong. Goaltending, power play, Huberto. Like, if Markstrom's giving you saves and Huberto is setting up goals for the rest of the season, you're going to make playoffs with the system this team plays. I think if Huberto goes a point per game, let's say he goes 1.2 points per game to finish the season, and let's say the power play goes, what is it, 18-something%? God. Let's say it goes 20% to finish the season and Markstrom continues playing the way he is, you'll make the playoffs. That's it. You just need a little bit better performance from one player and one special teams. Like, that's how close. Like, it's that close. It's not, oh, everybody's giving up. Oh, no one's playing for Daryl anymore. Oh, they hate him. Look. And I don't know if you saw this rumor, someone that we know that works with the Flames, they have a rumor that Daryl's a dick and everybody hates him. I don't know. Did you see that?
Yeah. Listen, I think that's something that gets like,
that's a rumor.
Yeah. Like way out of like, there's too many guys on the, these are full grown pro athletes, right? Like, I even saw Huska, he did press yesterday, and somebody asked him about like, oh, the atmosphere, the this, the that. And he was like, listen, these guys are professional athletes. They're paid to perform, and they know that, right? Like, I'm sure it gets frustrating, and they're all human beings, but it's not, they're sitting around moping, oh, poor me, the coach sucks, screw you, I'm not even going to try. Like, that's a Occam's razor type, like, oh, well, they must just hate playing for Daryl, therefore they suck.
Yeah, so the easiest solution is replace him and everybody's going to be good again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I haven't seen that argument 15 times. Like, oh, remember when Bob Hartley was such a dick, everyone hated him, which I think was, well, there were some stories that, like, yeah, that was true. But it's like, let's bring in a fun-loving players coach who's just a really good guy and relates to young players. Oh, he sucks too. This team needs is a hard-ass who's not going to take any bullshit from him. Bill Peters comes in. Okay, well, Bill Peters, he was too hard on the guys. We need a guy who's fun players coach. Jeff Ford comes in. Oh, well, he's too easy on the guys. It's like this fucking cycle of like this and that. It's like, you know what? Like, it's just some things aren't working and Daryl needs to make the adjustments and the players need to be able to adjust too. It's just like, this Daryl versus the players versus Daryl, Daryl versus Brad, Brad versus, like, this is all everyone's fault, and it fucking sucks. If you could whittle it down, and it's always easy to just fire the coach or whatever, but if you could just whittle this down to, yeah, the players don't like Daryl Sutter, that'd be pretty pathetic if they're playing this shitty just because they don't like Daryl Sutter and he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, that'd be
And you're never going to win with guys who, right? Like, I don't think you're ever going to win with guys who are like, I don't like the coach. Mm.
That'd be pretty shitty if a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau quits playing hockey because he doesn't like the coach.
Right.
So it's like, I don't like the coach, so I'm not going to try and help my team win.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. That'd be pretty shitty. And I mean, like, the other thing is, too, is like, what do you think other NHL coaches are like? Like, Daryl's obviously Daryl, right? But, like, I can't imagine Joel Quenneville was, like, Mr. fucking Sunshine and Rainbows when he was coaching the Panthers. Like.
Or the Blackhawks.
Like, guy was a pretty intense guy from what, right? Like, how much Huberto Plander Quenneville? So, like, it's just, like. It doesn't add up to me. It may be a contributing factor, but like, come on, if you've watched this team this year, it's the problems with Daryl are not that he's mean, that he's a big meanie. The problems are this year is that he hasn't been making the appropriate adjustments to help the team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always have this in the back of my mind too, is that maybe Daryl sees a certain path forward. And that's why he's holding on for dear life to keeping things the same way. Because maybe Daryl, his belief is Jonathan Huberdeau needs to break himself out. And once he does that, the whole team will be better for it.
Which he kind of did this thing with Gaudreau too, right? It's like he played him with Richie and Monahan for a while.
Yeah, but you know we're sitting here like, Gable, the thing that actually did move this team the needle was loading up all your star players together, creating the best, putting all your best players on one line. And seriously, this team was kind of just hovering until that point. That was what changed everything. But like you said, Daryl's always kind of like 3 to 5 games away from doing the thing that needs. It's like he holds on for dear life, and maybe that's a good thing because it creates so much mental paradigm inside the players' heads where it's just like when he does make the adjustment, now it's like a saving grace and maybe they play different. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe there's a method to how long he holds on to one particular thing that's not working, but tries to get the players to play through it. Do you think he'll change the lines?
That has been a tactic of his in the past for sure. So I do.
Like, it always seems like when you're just like, okay, oh, this is never gonna happen, but it needs to, then two games later, he makes the adjustment. He always seems to do it like at the last fucking 11th hour. Like, do you think he'll change? Do you think he'll make an adjustment on the lines
this season? Well, he doesn't adjust stuff after wins. So I wasn't surprised to see the same lineup last night.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact we saw the blender early in the first might be an indication, but then it's like, it seems to take a long time for him to change the lines. So I feel like Richie kind of sat. I can't remember. I think he did. I was watching last night. I can't say I was watching with the usual
undivided attention.
Yeah. That I do because it was just such an awful game to watch. I think Richie did sit out a few shifts. Feel like he might be in the doghouse a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what the rationale is for not. And nobody seems to ask. Like, they don't ask questions that we're all curious about, which drives me bonkers. It's like the questions are always about, like, oh, what did you think of Dubé? What did you think of this guy? It's like, ask why Huberdeau and Kadri are still playing together despite never scoring goals.
This is interesting, dude. I just got a notification on my phone from Twitter. So this is kind of breaking. And it's, you like this guy, Fiery Breadman. He's a good follow on Twitter.
He is. He posts just good shit.
So this is Trevor Lewis's wife. because after the Flames got booed off the ice.
God damn, I'm seeing this. Hell yeah, Carol Lewis.
After the Flames got booed off the ice, and in the presser following, Darryl's like, oh, I don't think he was booing the team. They were booing the team. And everyone's like, oh, then who are they? Oh, fuck. Oh, all the fucking Darryl Sutter
here. We're booing you, Darryl, you piece of shit.
Duh. But then 2 seconds later, he's like, well, basically saying it was the top players. That's whose fault this is. So anyways, here's the tweet. It's Sea Red Central. Because Trevor Lewis's wife replies to this. But here's the original tweet. Sea Red Central. This is Justin on Twitter. Is Darryl, and as of right now, we know that Justin is on the anti-Darryl side of the fence, which to each his own. Everybody's the common denominators. We all want the Flames to be great. So we all share that in common.
We should all realize we're all on the same page here. It's like, we all just don't want the Flames to suck ass. Please. Yeah.
But anyways, is Darryl afraid of his boys or something? Question mark. Never calls out Lucic, Lewis, Richie, Zadorov. Zero accountability displayed, which is why they coast. They know they have a spot no matter what. So it's basically, obviously, a tweet directed at Darryl and how he likes his, you know, his bottom six.
Doesn't ever call them out for being shitty.
His grinder players. Yeah. So then there's a response from Carol Lewis. Yeah, those 8 minutes are sure detrimental to the entirety of the game. Let's blame them and not the lack of production from the guys paid to produce.
Goddamn, Kara.
Holy shit, dude. That's fucking massive. I say that's massive. Care
to be a coach?
I say that's massive because this isn't a response from a fan. This is a response from a player's wife. How much does Lewis make?
800K.
Richie?
Which one? I think Nick is very more expensive than Brett, actually. Well, not, yeah, like $2.5 million or something.
Okay, well, I mean, the point is, it's like, it's true. If you look at how this, maybe not for Lucic, but everybody, that's a pass for everybody. I mean, no one's expecting him to produce. He's not, Lucic isn't getting paid to produce. Lucic is getting paid to lead the team, right? But, ooh. Jeez.
That's yikes. I don't think Kara's going to be invited to.
That's a shot, eh?
The wives club next time, eh?
So Kara's well, sticking up.
It's true, though. Like, husband, see, this is like, listen, do you think it doesn't drive me freaking bonkers that for some reason when we need a goal, the Lewis Lucic line is out there? Of course, it's infuriating, but like, that bugs me. But I don't see why is Darryl needing to come out and rip his fourth line players. Like, that's not how this works, right?
Well, at the end of the day, that's message sending.
Exactly.
Top line, isn't it?
Like, oh, hey, Trevor Lewis, you're not doing your... Yeah, Trevor Lewis is doing exactly what you want Trevor Lewis to do. You don't expect him to score goals. Darryl shouldn't be playing Lucic and those guys so much. But to say that, like, oh, you need to call out your old veteran guys who play 8 minutes a night or 10 minutes a night, right? Like, yeah, I think that's missing the point. You do need to call out your best players. I do find it's funny that the media reaction has been wildly different when Darryl calls out Huberto this year. When, like, anytime he called out Johnny Gaudreau last year, Air Francis would be at the ready with his freaking Slim Jim fully torqued, having an aneurysm about how great it was. So, aneurysm.
After he soiled his own underwear.
Right, like, he literally, jizzed himself when Darryl made that comment about Johnny's 500th game. Everybody was having a great old time when Darryl would rip the guys.
What was Francis, remember when he asked something? And he literally sounded like that? Remember that? He asked Darryl something. Great. I think it was near the end of the season. It was something about, what do you think? It was something with the Oilers, and you remember that?
I have not really.
Or was it the irony comment?
The which one? Yeah.
Remember the irony? It's like, is the irony lost on you? It's like fucking Krusty the Clown.
Yeah, like.
But what was that irony one? Because that, like, literally, Francis. Yeah. Was like,
is the you're irony bad. Lost on you? Was it? That was the Battle of Alberta one. Yeah.
You're bad. Ooh. I'm so excited.
But it's true, right? Like, it's so funny how they've been,
the
like,
irony
so,
lost?
They've been
what was
so
the irony
buttered.
Lost on you? It's something about.
Yeah, I totally remember that quote. Is the irony.
Edmonton
no,
being
no,
better.
No, it's not lost on me.
Edmonton being better or something, or outscoring them and or what? Something like that. I can't remember.
Something about the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah. Is the irony lost on you? So, yeah, I mean, back to your point. Francis would have had a heyday. Anyways,
it's just funny how, like, the you know, the shoe's on the other foot this year, where it's like when they loved when Darryl would rip Gaudreau and Tkachuk, right? Like, they freaking ate it up, lapped it up. It was awesome. Oh, well, right, yeah, more... these guys do need to be held accountable, blah, blah, blah. Now that it's like, yeah, Huberto has sucked. He's all so right. Mean. What a how dare you say that?
Okay, more breaking news. Lions today at practice for us to go over. They have changed. Excellent. Pelletier, Lindholm, Toffoli, Huberto, Kadri, Dubé.
Okay, that's an improvement.
Improvement. Mangiapane, Backlund, Coleman.
Yeah.
Lucic, Rizic, Gadur.
That's an improvement.
Richie and Lewis.
Why are... Lucic, though? Like, why Lewis is out? That's what I don't get.
Because you have to keep him in there because he makes fucking...
Fuck.
17 more games, bro. Or whatever it is.
I can't even do it, man.
At least he's changing something. Dubé with Huberto Kadri. That might be a good...
Listen, Dubé is a guy who, like, I think a lot of people have said, give him a shot with Huberto. He's fast. And I think even more importantly, Huberto is back on the left side. Based on the look of these lines, it's supposed to be on the right wing.
Yep. So I don't mind this. And then the thing I like about it the most is those two guys, Rizic and Dewar, should absolutely be on your fourth line.
Dude, that's what I'm like. Even Rizic especially, like, I get that Rizic, well, Dewar especially, because he's been great. I get that Rizic has been really lazy and shit this year, but it's like, now is the time to see if he's an NHL player. Now, right now, not in the summer when you're dicking around again and being like, oh, should we sign another plug? And then like put Rizicka on waivers or some shit and lose him like you did Valimaki. Now's the time to know if he's a part of this team.
Yeah, not next training camp when he's already competing with three other fucking plugs you already signed.
And four PTOs.
That you know you're going to give preference over the guys you've already signed.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I like those lines a lot. More Huberto, that's the thing is, like, Darryl has said, like, oh, Kadri and Huberto need a guy who can go get pucks for them in the zone. It's like, no, they need a – Huberto needs somebody who can skate, I think. Somebody who's fast. Somebody who knows where to go.
Yeah, maybe. He's the fastest guy available.
I mean, he's played with everybody Dubé. Else on the team other than Dubé, so let's give this a shot.
All right, well, let's kind of wrap things up. We could have recorded after the two wins, but
we knew, right? Like we were busy. We couldn't make it happen, but I think instinctually we both knew that if we were going to get on and get all excited, that it was going to be instantly cock-blocked.
You're going to lose to the Ducks.
Yeah, like, it's funny, it was a guaranteed loss.
You're like, do we have any chance of winning tonight? Last night, I'm like, absolutely not. Can't score a fucking goal.
Dude, like, I literally, yeah, you can't write this shit. Like, you have to give them props for being so on brand this year. Every single game goes exactly the way you expect it to. Down,
dude, I won $80. I'm 12 bucks down on, I won $50 on the Ducks winning because they got good odds. I'm going to do the same thing for all the shitty teams to finish out the season.
It's just mind-boggling.
Until this team makes an actual paradigm shift, I will continue to make money on them.
Cushion is a pillow with feathers. Right?
Ooby dooby doo. You liability in the playoffs. You can kiss my ass.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.